Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Gorgeous. I'm going to call you gorgeous audience today. You guys are blowing me away. Thank you so much for the feedback. Welcome to Mission Accepted Podcast. What could that possibly mean? Well, for those of you that are here listening, you know exactly what that means. And if you're new, thank you so much for coming onto the show today. This is the deal. Mission accepted. At some point, at somewhere in your life, you decided to take on the mission. No matter what you do, I think if you've been on the planet a little while, you know that this is a mission and that things change and evolve and you just got to roll with it or grow with it. Now, here's the deal. If you decided to become an entrepreneur, you've actually taken on a whole completely different mission, something that's very self-driven and, you know, self-purpose. So I have these incredible guests that come on and tell us what made that mission possible for them. Why did they do this? Why did they take on this mission of being an entrepreneur? And it is so incredible getting to meet people. You know that we interview people from Gen Z. You gotta love it, right? You gotta love this whole new paradigm of new entrepreneurs stepping in at 12, 14, 15, 17, 18, 19 years old, all the way to double boomers. And the beautiful thing for me that why I interview all of those generations is because I don't think like any other time in the world have we ever come together from a entrepreneurial business standpoint where we can actually lend to each other. You know, usually 17-year-olds would maybe go get mentored by someone who was 30 or 40 and saying, hey, I'm maybe thinking of possibly, you know, having my own business one day. And they took all the advice from that kind of more, you know, more experienced person, but that's not the case anymore. We are also reaching down to 17-year-olds and 18-year-olds and going, hey, I heard of this thing called TikTok. Like, can you help me out there? Or they're just braving up. They're just a brave generation that'll put themselves out there. So I absolutely love hearing stories and just inspiring you. If you are not an entrepreneur, if you've not gone and taken on this crazy mission, but you're thinking about it, this is the place to find out whether that's for you or not. I'm very excited today to introduce someone to you who has, I would say, a very unique position in the world. I came back from being on an incredible, incredible trip in Orlando, Florida, sharpening my axe, as Jeff Olson would say, and learning new skills and more skills in the world of media. Oh, this is where we are today. And I met this incredible gentleman at a VIP luncheon. And he was telling his story. Now, you guys, if you do or don't know, I come from a very long lineage of holistic medicine and energetic medicine, not just myself, but generations before me. And so when he started to talk, my Ayurvedic ear started to perk up because he was talking about India and, you know, having a bit of a revelation. And so, you know, I watched him for a couple of days and I'm like, hey, I want to know more about what you do. And I've had the oh my gosh, the generous offerings of being able to hang out with this guy a little bit lately and watch what he does more on a personal level and for other people as well. And what an incredible guest, a pretty unique industry that he's in. I can't say that I've seen anyone that does his work exactly the way that he does it. And so Shiraz, thank you so much for making time to come on to Mission Accepted today. And I'm super excited for you to share with people how the mission came to you and then what you chose to do with that. So welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Deborah. Thanks for having me on. I am a little disappointed because you said today, hello, gorgeous. And I thought you were talking to me, but it was the audience. No, still great. The audience is gorgeous. I'll let that one go.
You're part of that. Of course you're gorgeous.
Yeah. No, like, oh, damn, the audience. Okay. Cool. All right. So, but with me, This was a mission. Well, I'd like to say out of necessity, but to to learn to do what I do came out of necessity. And that was because, as you know, I got arthritis when I was 22 years old, and I suffered with it for almost 20 years until I did that trip to India and had this experience with this man where I've been trying all these physical solutions to get rid of arthritis for almost 2 decades. And I tried medication, and I tried supplements and diets, and I started doing things like yoga, acupuncture, magnets, like anything that people say, this is the new best amazing thing. And none of it was working for me. And, you know, but this is what you do when you get an illness. You're like, what do I have to do to get rid of it? What are the physical steps? But when I worked with this guy, he didn't do any of that. He just had conversations with me, found out everything that was going on in my life. And at the end, he says, well, Shiraz, you believe you're responsible for everyone in your life. And I'm like, no, like, that's ridiculous. But he said, but from everything you've told me, that's the belief that's running your life, is you need to be responsible for everyone. And I'm like, but even that, if that's true, what's that got to do with arthritis? And he said, well, you don't want to be responsible for everyone. That's just too much responsibility. I'm like, yeah. And if you're lying in bed in pain, you don't have to be responsible for anyone. You don't have to feel guilty about it. It's the solution to a problem you don't realize you have. And I was like, what? That's messed up. And he said, but that's what most chronic illnesses are, solutions to problems people don't realize they have. And so when I got that, when it really sank in, I said, okay, well, I'm not going to be responsible for anyone except for me. I'm done with it. I'm giving all that up. And the next morning, my arthritis was gone. It was just gone, right? And now the damage was still there. I'm still working on repairing the damage. That's a journey right now. But that miracle just occurred overnight because I didn't have a reason for arthritis anymore because I made that decision.
So let's stop there for a little bit, because I can hear my audience and they're like, what? Like, how many people do we know that have something that's going on for them that is holding them back from being able to be who they really want to be? And so we have that kind of running through our mind, and it may very well be us. And, you know, we hear about miracles and healing miracles and magical miracles and financial miracles and things just coming to fruition and working hard on it. And I think so it's sometimes it sits in this place of disbelief. And then when you get to actually meet someone, like, you know, I was sitting at lunch with you, you know, we're having fajitas or something, and get to see how that's changed for somebody, it can be quite a pill to swallow. Because when I would imagine if someone said to you, oh, you know, you've been carrying this disease for 20 years, and guess what? You have the ability to change it with just the thoughts of your mind or coming to a place where you know, that must have been quite an interesting process, you know? How did you find out about this man? Like, how did you, like, you went to India? Did you go specifically to see him? Did you just go to India because it's a place you've always wanted to go?
No, I've never wanted to go to India. So it was actually a conversation with my father. I said, I basically got to that point that it's got to change. And this is the thing I also realized, is you have to get to that point. I wasn't there before, because if someone had come to me when I was like 22, when I had first got it, and they said, well, this is happening because you're responsible for it, when I said, oh, go to hell. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. Like, seriously. Yeah. But there's that phrase, when the student is ready, the master will appear. Right. I was talking to my dad and I said, is there anything you've heard of, anything we haven't tried? And he said, there's this thing called combined therapy at a place in India, and they've had results with multiple illnesses. And I'm like, multiple? And that caught my attention, because you go to someplace for arthritis or cancer or diabetes, and he's like, no, everything. Right. And the crazy thing is, I went to the website, I saw the combined therapy thing. It was at a hospital over in India that was created by this guy, Swami Rama, to take care of all the people that couldn't afford other hospitals. So it was completely funded by donors. And so I went over there, and I get there, and I'm like, I'm here for the combined therapy program. And they said, oh, we stopped doing that program 2 years ago. And I'm like, what? Like, what are you talking
about?
It's on your website. It's like, yeah, we have to get around to taking that down.
What? Right? Oh my gosh.
And so they said, well, there's an Ayurvedic clinic here. You can do that. So I started doing those treatments, which is kind of cool. If you get a chance to do that, you get massages every single day as part of the process of Ayurveda. Oh my God. And all natural food. And like the food was grown right there because we were out of the main major cities. We were in a rural area. So everything was just amazing and healthy. And that stopped the progression of my arthritis. It didn't make it go away, but now I wasn't getting worse. But then when I was staying there, one of the guys that had done the combined therapy came to visit the hospital to see how things were going. And I'm like, you need to work on me. He's like, okay. I'm like, all right. So, I asked him too. I said, if this program is so successful, why do you stop it? He said, well, there are three of us that were doing it. And we all got called to do other things that were at a bigger level than just being here at the hospital. So no one took it on afterwards. Right. It was just kind of crazy. So he put me through this process, which was just talking to me and also teaching me certain breathing and focusing exercises, which is now what I teach other people to help. Because for a while I was just doing what I do that you experience, where I'm pulling out the beliefs like he did in those 2 weeks to get to that one belief. I've managed to do that for people in like 5 minutes now from learning how to do this really concisely. But the other thing that's there is building up your mental muscles to overcome adversity. And that comes from these breathing and focusing exercises. And it wasn't until last year that people were coming to me and go, Shiraz, what are you doing that we're not doing? And I'm like, what are you talking about? I said, well, you're helping us clear out these beliefs, which is changing our lives. But you've got this calmness. Nothing ever upsets you. You just flow through life. And we're not there yet. And nothing you're doing is teaching us to be there yet. And it wasn't until last year that I realized, oh, I do these things every day. And it's just become the same thing as me brushing my teeth. So I don't think of it as something I should teach. It's just what I do. But now that I started teaching it, people are like, oh, things are really changing now.
Right. Right. So I want to go back a little bit. So this man does this work on you, which, I mean, as an Ayurvedic practitioner, I absolutely love your story. And I've had that experience of massage every day. And you know, there's a woman here because we couldn't go to India at the time. And so I did all, you know, that kind of thing. And I do treatments similar, but obviously not what you do. And so you have this experience. What happened for you around, I need to take this and give it to others? Or like, where, how did that process happen? Because many of us have the epiphany or the experience. And then it takes another kind of decision making. I'm going to take the mission on to go take it to people. So yeah. How did that happen between you and this gentleman?
It didn't actually happen between me and him. So after he did that, I just went back home and I did what like regular people do. I just went back to my job because the arthritis is gone. I can go back to my career. So I just sort of like let the whole thing go. But I was curious about it and I kept looking into it. And I started going to different modalities and learning them and seeing how they work. And everything didn't seem as powerful as it could be. And everything seemed convoluted. You have to do this method. You have to say these specific things. There was just so much dogma and routine. And it just wasn't working for me. So eventually I stripped out everything I thought was extraneous and said, we're just going to do this. We're going to find what the belief is and clear the belief. And the whole thing can take a couple minutes. And I started practicing that on my friends. And they started getting results. And it was really cool. And I was having fun. And I'm like, this is a neat technique. And then someone finally said, Shiraz, you know, people will pay you for this. And I'm like, no, it's just this thing I'm learning. Like, no, people will pay you for this. And I'm like, oh, okay, let's find out. And it was funny because most people are like, I need to share this with the world. And I thought I was sharing it with my friends and stuff. But for me, it was more like this challenge and a dare. Yeah, let's see if people will pay. Let's just see. And so I started charging what I thought was an outrageous amount. And people were just dropping money in my hand. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is a business. And so I took it from there and I just started building the business. And I didn't realize how much satisfaction I was going to get by working with more and more people and seeing all these lives change. Because until that suggestion came up, it was just something for me and my family and friends.
Right.
But right. Now I'm working with hundreds of people a year, and the feedback I'm getting is amazing. And plus the shock people go, it's like, oh, it was just that, like, it's not always one belief. Like for me, it's often a bunch of beliefs holding your life in place that you have to let go of them. But every now and then someone hits that one belief and everything shifts overnight. And they're like, this is crazy. And I've just been living by that stupid belief that was formed when I was 6 years old, and I didn't know it was running my life. And I just let go of it and everything changed.
I mean, that's such a incredible entrepreneurial story, right? And I think there's a couple things that I hear when you share. First of all, I've experienced your work, so I totally get it. And I think, you know, for anyone over 20-ish that's been in the world of either personal development, business development, entrepreneurship, or quest of some kind, sport or whatever, we've all hired coaches to help us get past our beliefs or our obstacles or our blocks, or, you know, push ourselves against, you know, like, look, I'm going to be walking across Ireland a little bit. So what did I do? I got a personal trainer. I got a coach that's going to push me past what I think I can do, because that's really what barriers mean. And the beautiful thing I love about your work is that it's one thing to know, I'm like, I'm going to go do some exercise. My body's not ready. I'm going to go hire someone to help me, to I'm, you know, things aren't working as quick as they should. And you're kind of, you don't know, like, until someone does the work with you, because you have the ability to see a belief that they don't even know that's running. And sometimes the belief isn't even a traumatic belief. You know, sometimes we think, oh, we had trauma, or we had a business not succeed, or we had a relationship end, and we're stuck on that. And what I've experienced by watching you work with others as well is that sometimes it's just some silly little thing that the neighbor said to you when you were carrying your groceries home. Like, it just, it's interesting, the impact. It almost makes you think. I used to say this when we used to do chakra work for people. People used to come for chakra clearing. They're like, I never knew that existed. We're like, I know, right? Like, you don't know till you know. And that's the interesting thing I think about your work, is that sometimes it's just a couple of beliefs, or like you said, a layering of beliefs that can be removed pretty quickly when you realize that it's running your life. Because as much as it's impactful and holding you back, as you're doing work with you and you bring it forward, you almost, well, for me, I started to chuckle. Remember, I think it was little, I was like, oh, this is hysterical to think that something like that was the barrier to, you know, what it is that I wanted to do. So I know that I might be sounding a little confusing to the listeners and the viewers, but really, I think the beautiful thing about your work is that it can be simple.
Yeah.
But what I also saw with your work is people have to be willing.
Yeah.
Right.
And yeah, so for the people that are trying to figure out what you're talking about, I'll give a little bit of context from when my arthritis came back. So the thing about your brain is its priority is to keep you out of emotional distress, not physical circumstances. So it would rather you be poor than feel guilty. It would rather have you have arthritis than feel guilty. But the three biggest emotions it tries to help you avoid are guilt, shame, and heartbreak. So if you think you, and this is the thing, not even if you know what's going to happen, if you think you might possibly feel guilty by doing something, or shame from failure, or whatever it is, your brain will go, okay, we'll make sure that doesn't happen. Right. So, and then it manipulates your circumstances around you. And here's the thing. There was a period a few years ago where my arthritis started to come back full blown. And I was in a lot of pain. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? I fixed this. But what I realized is my brain now uses arthritis as a warning system that you've gone into guilt or shame. And you need to figure this out. And then I'll let go of the arthritis again. And I'm looking in my life going, my life is good. I don't feel any guilt. And it turned out that what happened was a few weeks earlier when the arthritis started to kick in again, I was in the shower. And I remembered that I shave in the shower. And the reason I do that is when the arthritis was really bad, I get into the shower and the heat would get into my muscles and my bones and loosen my body up. So I just shave while that's going on. And so I never stopped doing that, because now I just enjoy the feeling of the warm water while I'm shaving. And what went into my mind is, you're wasting water. And that guilt of wasting water brought the arthritis back, so I could now be justified to shave in the shower. Right. And just that's all it took. Right.
Wow, that's a wow moment, right? Just that's incredible. So you turn it into a business. Now, how does one market? I mean, look at, you know, I'm right now, I'm helping my son set up his business. And I had a meeting yesterday with a woman who's going to be the CFO. And because I'm going to do his business different than I did my other seven. We're actually going to do the business plan first, market research, go raise capital. I've had accidental success like you've had, Shiraz. or a little, guess we're eating rice this weekend success. So so you decide to take it into a business. Now, how does one take what you do and put it into a brochure? Like, what was your form of marketing? Let's talk to, you know, there's a lot of people out there in the world of holistics. I used to teach marketing for the holistic practitioner because there's so many incredible, powerful healers that don't know how to take themselves to market. So you seem to have that one down. What did you do?
Well, first thing I did was screw up. let's be honest here. So I started talking about, this is what I do, and this is the process I do, and it's going to change your life. And no one cares. No one cares.
Oh, right? Gosh.
They care about what, how is this going to help them? So when I changed my marketing to, these are the kind of results you can get, not why you're stuck or what you need to do to get unstuck, but I worked, like one of my clients, Sean, he was trying to close deals at $300,000 in his business, and he was struggling to find them. And within 6 months, we had him closing $900,000 deals consistently without no effort in finding them. And it's just through the processes that I teach them. When people hear that, they're like, well, what are these processes? I want to learn these processes. not only did he go from stress to find, but finding them easily, but he tripled, right? So, and that's just what happened. And the crazy thing is he called me like a year after we went through that whole process. And he's just like, I've been doing this in a business for other people. Let's do it again so I can create my business. And then we just, and within weeks, his business was running. So, because now, especially once you've done it once and you got the foundation, you know how, oh, I just have to do this, this, and this. I got a couple things I can't find. I'll go to Shiraz to find those. Boom, they're gone. And now I'm off and running on my own. Right. But that's it. When people don't, and it was a hard pill to swallow, and it is for a lot of people, they don't care what you do. They have no care whatsoever what they do. They care what you can change in their lives. And right. All your marketing has to be centered around that.
Right. That's brilliant, because many times I remember when I put my first ad, there was a newspaper here. It was the first holistic newspaper. Oh my gosh. You know, 27 years ago or something, 28 years ago. And it was called Common Ground. And I think actually they were across Canada. But the one thing, so I put my little ad in, saved up my money, put in my little ad, you know, could only afford whatever it was. And, you know, I talked about what I was doing. And he's like, no one wants to buy features. They always want to buy benefits.
Yes.
Like, what do your treatments do for people? How does it change their life? And that kind of thing. And I think it's an important message overall, whether you're in holistic medicine or whether you're selling, you know, Apple cords or staplers or what have you. What it, the stapler is gorgeous and it's beautiful and it's lightweight and it's a, no, what is it going to make me do? You know, how's it going to better my business? So you're going to, you know, staple faster than any other staple. The staple will never come out. You'll be able to ship it worldwide or whatever it is. I think focusing on how you make people feel and what changes those are going to happen for them are much better than, you know, featuring it itself. I would imagine for someone like yourself, you would have great word of mouth. You know, when people start to have those results, they don't want to keep your gift secret. They know other people that want to be helped and really honestly healed, right? Whether it's business or personal. So, and so here we are, you know, I mean, you got to wonder, like, so your dad tells you about this clinic and you go down there and you have these changes. Like, What was that like for your family? I imagine your family knew you to have arthritis for many years.
Yeah.
So what was their response like?
That's the interesting thing, because they were blown away by the change, but they were still in their stories, because my mom had arthritis. My sister has arthritis. My brother had arthritis. But did anyone go
to India? Wow.
Did anyone go to India? No. Right? They watched me come back, more mobility, all the pain's gone, and they continued doing what they were doing.
Isn't that tough? Isn't that tough? I mean, let's talk about that. I have a situation going on with a friend right now who called me very late last night, who's in a physical condition. And I'm like, okay, you know, who you're talking to me. You're talking to me and I'm going to kind of Janis Joplin on you. You know, I'm like, enough. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want change, like, you see how I eat, how I this, how I that, what I think, how I'm like, I think it's time for a life change. Yeah. And this person's been, I mean, honestly, they're a very close person. It's tough, right? It's tough when you feel you have information and then you have to let people have their own journey.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's two ways people are going to change. Number one is the desire overcomes the current situation, right? The need to stay comfortable in the current situation. Or the current situation becomes so unbearable that you're forced to change.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
I recommend doing the first one. The second
one. Based on Shiraz's, well, here's the beautiful thing is that once you've done your work or doing your work, like I did some with you on Saturday, which was brilliant, and you start to realize that even on this kind of level, on this vibrational level or on this belief level, there's some great stuff to clean up and then holding that vibration. I mean, it's one thing when you make that change, you know, that's why, you know, if I could just go to the gym once, I mean, Raman shows up here 3 times a week, whether I want him to or not. And he's like, here we go. And I'm like, I'm not in the mood. Like, I'm not a gym person. I've always been a swim person. Get me in the pool. Okay. I'll walk. Clearly, I'm going to walk along. Like, I'll walk, I'll train, but getting in the gym and doing, I'm just like, oh, right. And so I don't want to, I don't want to. But I need to. And so I just have someone show up no matter what, and you kind of go with it. But it takes that repetition, does it not? Like,
absolutely.
Talk about that a little bit, because it's one thing to go to an appointment and get your teeth cleaned once, mm-hmm. but then, you know, you need to make another appointment. And so, yeah. So talk about the aftermath or the, I don't know what you call it, the follow-up, the tweaking, well, the whatever you do.
It's exactly what you described. I love the gym analogy, because if you want to be a bodybuilder, it's not like you can go to the gym once a month and have this really intense workout and then you'll become a bodybuilder. Like, it's just not going to happen. And mm-hmm. it's the same with the neural patterns. You're moving neurons in your brain. You're creating new neural clusters, but circumstances are causing the patterns to try to go back to the way they were. So you've got to make sure you're constantly doing this work. And then once you get there, it's still maintenance. If you become a bodybuilder, it's not like, oh, I'm a bodybuilder, I don't have to work out anymore. You're still going to have to do the exercises. Now, you don't have to do them as intensely because now you're just maintaining. And especially with these mental exercises, you go from doing it an hour a day down to 15 minutes once you're at that special, that nice level where everything's going well. And then if you want to take things up, you go back up to an hour and build to that next level. But that's what has to happen. You've got to keep doing the work over and over and over again to keep the results coming up, because life is constantly throwing things at you to take you back to that other place. Other people are telling their stories and those are influencing. Oh, life is hard and there's never enough money and there's so much competition. And these are all just stories that people are living in. And when you realize those are their stories, I'm going to be in my stories. Then they're watching you going, what the hell, man? What's going on with you? And it's amazing how it can show up. It can be so much fun at times, because I remember it was about this time of the year a few years ago where it was the last really warm day of summer where we were. And my friends and I decided, let's go to the patio, get some drinks, hang out. It's just going to be great. And there were 7 of us there. When I got there, I was the last one to get there. And there's six of them are at the table. And what I didn't realize was what happened before I got there is that 3 of them arrived and managed to grab the table with 3 chairs. And then another 3 got there and they said, where are the chairs? It's like, there's so many people here. You're gonna have to go scavenge, find your chairs. And they're like, fine, should we get one for Shiraz? Oh no, don't get one for Shiraz. The universe takes care of Shiraz. Let him go. So they managed to get 3 more chairs. They're sitting there. So I arrived there and I look and there's no chair for me, but it didn't even like annoy me. I just noticed, oh, there's no chair for me. I'm gonna have to get a chair. And as I get there, a waitress walks up and she goes, how you doing, sir? And I'm like, I'm doing amazing. How are you? She goes, I'm great. Thank you for asking. Can I get you a chair? Absolutely. That would be great. And the whole group of them is like, oh, come on.
That's a perfect story. That's a great live analogy of the continuation of work, right? And just when you do work on your mind, like the mindset, look, it's so incredible because as you're talking, I think, you know, I teach top performance, right? And when you work with taking your mind into a place of constant manifestation, or I call it constant examination, right? People are like, oh, it's like, you know, you get to ask yourself, is it true? You know, when you say your story, I'd say to people, they go, yeah, but da 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 da. They'd given it, you know, they'd give a reason why, you know, I can't double my income because of this, or I can't achieve this goal because of this. And I'd say, so let's examine that, this, right? Which you do in such an incredible holistic way. I'm telling you guys, it was amazing. And I'm like, is it true? Like, what is what you're saying true? Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, I'm so busy, I can't do that. Is it true? Yeah, I'm busy. Are you so busy? Like, is it really impossible? So you have to break it out. I think you have to get into a place where you can self-examine yourself, right? And then that's kind of the people are like, what are the benefits? And I'm like, you can't explain them. There's just so many, right?
Yeah. And it's amazing because even an example, like I'm always busy. When you really get that everything is going that's going on in your life is happening because a part of you wants it to be happening, then the question doesn't become, well, how do I get out of this? It's like, why do I want this? And mm-hmm. a lot of busy people, there's a few major reasons why they want to be busy. Number one, I don't deserve it if I don't work hard for it and I'm not busy. And if you have that belief, you'll find ways to make things harder and keep yourself busier. Another big one is I need everyone to see how hard I'm working so they know I deserve everything I get. So again, you're making things harder and making yourself busy just so everyone sees it and you get that acknowledgement. And I'm like, if you're okay with people going, oh, you know what? You hardly work at all. You make so much money. It's completely unfair. Then you can make a lot of money and not work hard. Like it can be that simple.
It's wild. It's a wild journey. This entrepreneurship is a wild journey. Our life is a wild journey. Our life is a wild journey. I think we're going to make a t-shirt. Hashtag our life is a wild journey. Okay. So we've talked lots and people are like, okay, so how do you take your work and what format are you in? Do you work with people one-on-one? Do you do groups? Do you do like, where can people hear more, see more?
You can go to energeticmagic.com and on there you can just click right away and make an appointment to find out what works best for you. But I do work with groups and I work one-on-one with people. My personal transformation program, we work on that one major issue in your life that you need to change and we work until it's done. I don't care how long it takes. We're going to work on it till it's done. And the cool thing is most people are done in 6 months. Some people are done in a few weeks because we get to it and we change it, but I still work with them after that because there's that withdrawal. This is now everything's different. It's wonderful. But you're like, I was so used to this, even though it sucked. So I make sure we don't see you slide back to that place and then let you go. With the group program, the wonderful thing about the group program is you've experienced when you're working with a group, someone else comes up and says, I've got this problem. You're like, oh my God, I've got that problem. I didn't realize I had that problem. But now that you say it, oh, I need to move that. And when I work on one person in the group, everyone gets the benefit. So
yeah, that's fun. Yeah, fantastic. So that's energeticmagic.com, right? Energeticmagic.com. And for those that are, you know, I mean, obviously our show is international and you have an international clientele, but for those that are in the beautiful country of Canada, I happen to be on the other coast, but I'm coming soon. I'm going to give you a little text after. I'm going to be there in a few weeks. Shiraz is in the beautiful city. The one thing I got to say about Toronto, Canada, that I absolutely love is your museum is incredible. And the different flavors of food in your province is exceptional. There's just different cultures and different food everywhere. But, you know, we'll have to have one of those drinks you're talking about. And honestly, you can just get our chairs. You can just manifest like the best table with the best view. But all joking aside, what an incredible, different entrepreneurial path that you've had. It came to you through, you know, like A lot of people say there's either pleasure or pain. You know, lucky us that, you know, your father made a suggestion and you took it. I think when I pick apart how people have achieved their success, there's certain elements. And usually one of those elements is someone suggested, someone kind of handed the wand to someone, someone had an opportunity, and somewhere inside, that's why I like to say mission accepted. Somewhere inside you said yes. Somewhere inside you said, I'll go to India. Somewhere inside you were ready to heal. Somewhere inside you were ready to take this to the world. You had no idea how it was going to turn out. And that is a bit of the abyss of being an entrepreneur. You don't know. When I decided to be an entrepreneur in my 20s and I, you know, started a massage clinic and massaging and healing, I didn't know I'd be sitting on a podcast talking to a rock star like you. I mean, who knows? Like, who knows the journey? But if you can embrace that unknowingness and trust, you know, trust yourself and, you know, make sure you circle yourself around with people that you can trust to advise you, then my gosh, you can just go anywhere in life and have an incredible experience. So I have a question that I want to ask you. And before I do that, is there anything else that you'd like to share with our audience about being an entrepreneur or what it takes or getting started or staying, or is there anything you want to share? Quit.
Yeah, I'll do it quick. But also before that, it's just amusing because you're like on here with a rock star like me. And I was telling one of my friends, I'm getting interviewed by Deborah Drummond. She's such a rock star. I can't believe I'm getting interviewed by her.
Thank you.
So, but with the entrepreneurship, what you were saying earlier is the unknown. Your mind will avoid unknown over horrible circumstances. So it's a matter of saying, okay, you know what? I know I'm going to have resistance to this, but move forward anyway. And it's going to result in so many fantastic experiences and a few horrible experiences. Sorry, that's just how it works. But overall, it's going to be the thing you want to do to move forward and create the life you want. So if it looks hard, figure out how to get through that. And one thing I've learned is you don't always have to push through the hardness. Sometimes you do, but sometimes it's like you're a fly at a window trying to get outside the house and you're bashing yourself against the window thinking, all I have to do is push a little harder. And meanwhile, there's an open door 5 feet away. Sometimes all you have to do is take a step back, look at what all the other options are, and then just take the easiest route possible.
Fantastic. Thank you. Okay. So my question for you, if you haven't been on the show before, if you don't know a lot about me yet, if you are a new listener, you will come to soon learn how much I love music. It basically is my fuel. It's my Wheaties to, you know, sports stars, whatever they are. So this is what I do every single day. And I always say to people, if I'm late for a meeting, it's not because I was in another meeting. It was because I could not end that song in time. So I was listening. I'm finding new bands all the time. I love music. It moves me. And Shiraz, hopefully you have, you know, something about music that you love as well, because you are about to embark and you are going to go onto a desert island and you're going to get one little suitcase. It's carry-on only. Didn't you know you're going to have to pay for otherwise? So you got one carry-on and you have room for one album. What album would you take with you that you could not imagine not listening to for the rest of your days, eating pineapple and mango?
One album?
So one album. That's
that
it.
Means
that's
all you get. One artist?
One artist, and it can't be a greatest hits. Okay. I've had enough people try to pass that one by, or, you know, or my soundtrack, or, you know, one album.
Oh, that's a tough one.
Ta-da!
It would have to be, there's like five that are coming up for me.
Yeah.
You know, I think it would be Queen.
All right.
Because the variety they put into their music is just going to feel good. And some of the songs, like, well, I'm going to sing out loud no matter how many times I hear them. So, and the thing is, if Bohemian Rhapsody comes on and you don't sing along with me, you are no longer my friend.
Oh my gosh. Oh man, we are souls people. Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh my gosh. That's amazing. Okay. Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen. I'm going to put that on just for you today. Okay. Thank you so much, Shiraz. I'm going to text you, talk to you. We're going to talk real soon. Thank you so much for what you do. Thank you for taking on the mission. And thank you for being brave enough to share it. Because I got to say, coming from the world of holistic medicine, when having an understanding of energetics and work and that whole world, even the word chakra, I literally had to keep it off my brochure because people wouldn't come for massage. There's been an evolution of people accepting this kind of work, not only in their personal life, but now in their business. Even astrology, people kind of like, ooh, you know, there's a lineage of people that have opinion about alternative ways of living and thinking. And so thank you so much for standing out and being brave and telling people this is what you do and this is what you have to offer, because sometimes it's not easily received. You know, it's not like you're like, hey, I can help you with your taxes. Do you know what I mean? Right. So thank you for your bravery. Thank you for coming onto the show. And you guys, look, you know, there's lots of really cool stuff going on. If you want to be sitting where Shiraz is sitting and you want to come onto the show, this is not difficult. My website is my name. It's debdrummond.com or deb@debdrummond.com. And we have an incredible book that's coming out. You guys know the Mission Accepted does publications. And we have the Entrepreneurial Planner coming out with a number of very cool quotes from very cool people that are there to inspire you, as well as the Sales Tracker is hitting the market as we speak. People, you are the first to hear. So the Sales Tracker that helps people that actually have clients or want clients. And so it has a little bit of training in there for me. You can just hover over the QR code and I can, you know, share with you how I got to where I got to. And you can just have that. And it's going to be on Amazon. So you're going to be hearing more about that. So the Success Tracker, High Performance Success Tracker, is available. Shiraz is doing some amazing groups. He works one-on-one. Please reach out to him. We're going to have all his information in the show notes. Thank you so much for being with us today. We appreciate you. Please continue to share. I look at the stats. We are, my gosh, when I say we are international, it is incredible the different countries that are listening to this show. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week. Until then, be groovy. Bye for now.